B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's get to get some insight on the injuries that are happening in the NFL, especially with the Philadelphia Eagles. And our next guest is a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, was the San Diego Chargers team doctor for 17 years. He's a Harvard man, and he has a fascinating ability to diagnose injuries from afar and assess their impact right now at the moment. Let's welcome in Dr. David Chow. Dr. Chow, how are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for that nice intro. One small clarification. Technically, I don't diagnose because that would imply examination and treatment and looking at x-rays, et cetera. It's more injury impressions, giving you impressions what it is.
Okay, your impressions are pretty damn good, though. Yeah, and you gave me that's an impression with a tweet on Malik Jackson, and you said it was a Liz Frank before anybody could. So how do you determine that?
Well, it's based off of experience in the NFL, experience as an orthopedic surgeon. And when I was a head team physician, I would tell all my assistants, whenever there was an injury, don't watch me when I run out onto the field. Look at the video on the Jumbotron or what have you. And then after seeing a guy on the field, on the sidelines, in the locker room, during, after the game, and then the next day, Monday morning, after an MRI, the head athletic trainer and I would go upstairs into the film room, and the film guys would always have cut out video of the injuries of the week. Why did we do that? I'm not sure. I mean, everyone else in the building studies film on Monday. We thought we just wanted to get better at our craft, and what's happened across 17 years, and now that I'm not working with a team anymore, still practicing orthopedics, it's been incredibly useful that just looking at it. And before anyone thinks it's crazy because he studied this and so forth, I mean, if you get hurt doing whatever, playing indoor soccer recreationally, and you go and see a doctor, what does the doctor say? What happened? Well, I was running along, my foot was planted, and someone hit me on the outside of the knee. Well, that's the video, isn't it? I mean, the video is what the injury is. So that's kind of what it's based on.
All right, let's make it specific to the Eagles here, because they had to replace Malik Jackson with Tim Jernigan. And he's got a broken bone in his foot, the navicular bone, I believe it is. Now, how long will they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Is that accurate? And why is that going to take so long?
Well, if it's a navicular bone, it's going to be a lot longer than 4 to 6 weeks. I do not have clear video on which bone it is. My hope and assumption is it's a metatarsal fracture of some sort that heals better, because I did see the report of a 4 to 6 week return. A navicular fracture, there are different kinds as well. Sometimes they're quite problematic. And here in Philadelphia, and I don't want to mention Joel Embiid's name, but you know, there are other names of navicular fractures that have been problematic. So I don't know what fracture, what bone it is. They haven't announced it, at least to me. But if you have heard a source say navicular bone, I would up that 4 to 6 week estimate.
Uh-oh. No, that's not good. They also have these nagging calf injuries. The calf injuries are weird. I'm trying to figure out why that is. But Alshon Jeffrey has a calf situation, and the tight end Dallas Goedert has a calf situation. What's the deal with calf injuries, and how long can they linger?
Calf injuries do linger, and I don't know for sure, and the team doesn't have to announce which calf Dallas Goedert injured, because he did have a calf injury from the preseason week one. I don't know for sure it's the same side or different side. Statistically, it probably is the same side. Obviously, when you get hurt in warm-ups, there's not video of how you got hurt. And calf injuries just tend to linger. And that's where you need to be careful. And so Alshon Jeffrey has one now. I can't tell you what degree. And then you throw in your other pass receiver with a muscle injury, groin, DeSean Jackson. And I've said already, look, of these three guys, based on its early season, based on their needs and what they need to do between calf and groin, especially with two games in 11 days coming up here, I'm expecting at least two of the three not to play this Sunday, if not three of the three.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about the quarterbacks are getting bounced around. And I wonder if you have any opinion on why this is happening, other than players are getting bigger and faster, and they're not playing in preseason. Is that any kind of a factor in these early 2 week injuries that we've had?
You know, it's been a little bit of an aberration. In the past, it's always been the Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning that stay in the pocket to stay healthy, right? Phillip Rivers has started 200-plus consecutive games because of all the rules protections, whereas it's been like your guy, Carson Wentz, who's super dynamic, who runs and does other things outside of the pocket that exposes him to risk. What's unusual in the early going here, the injuries that are befelling quarterbacks, the health issues, aren't always those classic ones where you're extending plays or out of the pocket. Obviously, Trevor Siemian last night was. But if you look at them all, starting with Andrew Luck, a holdover injury, by the way, that started as a calf that somehow had morphed, was not, you know, one where he was running out of the pocket per se. Obviously, Nick Foles was in the pocket, and the rules of quarterback weight on the quarterback body weight should have protected him, but didn't. Drew Brees with his thumb, he was in the pocket, just following through, freak injury on his thumb. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't even touched. It was just throwing a ball. And you add in Sam Darnold with the mono, obviously that's not getting hit out of the pocket. There have been some unusual injuries to quarterbacks, unusual situations that go beyond the norm of getting hit and getting hurt out of the pocket.
I want to ask you this question. We're talking to David Chow. Dr. David Chow is a nationally known orthopedic surgeon. When it seems to when a lot of guys get injured on a football team, the medical staff gets fired. And the Eagles this year brought in a new medical staff. Is that fair, or is there an A way to treat guys that would prevent injuries?
Well, first of all, doctors are more on the treatment side than the prevention side, right?
Yes.
Now, you do cross over some, and prevention side might be between coaches and strength and conditioning guys and potentially athletic trainers. But look, here's one thing I always said. First of all, you have to look at the specific injury and see if the doctors or medical staff or anyone could have done anything about it. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. But look, there were lots of times my GM would get mad at me, you know, every Monday morning when I come up with the injury list with him and have the meeting with him. And he literally would, you know, be mad at me and sometimes a four-letter word or two. And I had to tell him, look, I'm Paul Revere. I'm not the British. I'm not causing these injuries. I'm just telling you they're coming. They're here. So it's not always fair to blame the medical staff.
Are these doctors under that kind of pressure to clear guys? Because of that, does that happen in the industry a lot?
No.
It doesn't.
Here's why. It never happened to me. I can't speak for Philadelphia. It never happened to me. And I actually did a podcast recently where I had Philip Rivers on. He obviously famously played 6 days after an e-scope and with a brace on a torn ACL kind of deal. And he said it in the podcast many times. No, no, no. He drove the discussion on the plane ride home from the Indianapolis Colts victory before he played the Patriots. On the plane ride home, he talked my ear off 17 times saying, I'm playing in this game. And how can you get me to play this game? I don't care about the risk. And we talk about that. The reason why it's a misnomer that a doctor would risk anything, even if you go to the Kevin Durant situation, I get the pressure and the pressure is there. There is intrinsic pressure to get a player back because you know that's what you want to do. That's what the team wants to do. That's what the management wants to do. That's what the player wants to do. That's what the city wants you to do. We get that. But you're never going to do anything that affects yourself or your own family. Look, doctors only have one, at most $2 million of liability insurance. If you put a guy back, you lose, and you shouldn't have, and you do some sort of malpractice, you lose your house and your career. Who in their right mind would ever do that? I don't care how much any GM pressures you to do it. It just doesn't happen. In addition to that, the job, there is no orthopedic surgeon or head team physician in this league that is a full-time employee of the NFL or a team. All of them have their own private practices or other situations. And quite honestly, the average is about only 5% of their income is from the team. And they actually get the job when they're successful in life, not when they're not successful and they need the marketing to do so. So this narrative that's out there in the public is really not correct. And look, I'm not even in it anymore, so there's no reason for me to protect any of the guys that are in the league, but that's just a misnomer in terms of what people think.
All right, well, here's the follow-up question then. Does the doctor have final say on whether a guy is going to play football on a Sunday or whatever day?
No. I've said this many times. Return to play is always a three-headed monster. It is in some ways like Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. Hear me out here. Three parties have to vote yes unanimously to allow a player to return to play.
So if a doctor says no, basically if a doctor says no, he's not playing then.
Correct. That is correct. But it's not just the doctor. It's a joint decision between the doctor, the physical therapist, the athletic trainer.
Can a doctor be overruled here? Because you're telling me Phillip Rivers played 6 days after an HCL situation and insisted on playing with a brace. What's the liability involved in that?
Oh, no question. No question. I had long discussions with him about informed consent and how this wasn't the best thing to do for his knee. But if he wanted to do it, then this is the ways that you could make it safer to do it that way. But that was not the safest thing to do. Look, another example, at least 100 times in my career, I've told a player, people have come to me and said, okay, doc, what's the best thing to do for my knee? And I look at him and say, you really want the best thing? And he said, yes, lose 100 pounds and quit playing football. Like, well, doc, I'm not doing that. You know, okay, well, then what's the next best thing that we can do? This is what the next best thing is. So to finish my point, it's the medical staff is one vote. The player, his wife, his agent, the player himself gets a vote. And the team, the owner, the GM, the coach, the position coach, whatever, gets a joint vote. There has to be three yeses for a guy to be returned to play. If the doctor says yes, the player wants to go, but the coach or the GM says let's wait another week, you're waiting. If the GM says let's go and the doctor says let's go, but the player says I don't feel right, he's not playing. So it has to be a joint decision.
All right, but I'm trying to get specific here. If the doctor says no and the player and the GM say yes, will that player play? And if he does, would you have to have him sign a form that absolves you from liability?
Well, the doctor doesn't need to have the form signed because he just puts in his record that says, I didn't advise this. But let me tell you, if one doctor said no, the team would be incumbent and the player of at least finding one doctor, another doctor that said yes, right? There has to be at least one doctor that signs off on it.
Ah, okay. All right, last question because you brought up Embiid. You know his medical history. Apparently, he's lost weight. And in your estimation, in your opinion, how long can we expect Joel Embiid to play it with his condition and his orthopedic records?
Well, you know, this is just public consumption knowledge. Mm-hmm. He had his share of injuries. And big guys obviously have bigger problems. I mean, look, if you drive your pickup truck full and haul it full of stuff every day, the shocks and the brakes and the tires don't last as long. So losing some weight, especially if it's in a positive way, might be good for him. I mean, obviously he's had his share of stress/overuse injuries from the back to the foot and other things, et cetera. So in general, being leaner may not be a bad thing, but I'm generalizing, not talking about specifics.
Okay. So does that mean he's going to have a long career, or would you be shocked if he had a long career?
Well, you know, at this point in time, you get what you get, right? And hopefully you keep him healthy, but certainly he's had enough things that it's going to make everyone a little bit weary about what his health status is.
All right, I put you on the spot with that question, I guess. All right. I get you. Dr. Chow, listen, thanks for coming on. Very good, interesting. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he is, Dr. David Chow, nationally known orthopedic surgeon, speaking about the injury situations.